Welcome to another broadcast of the Word for Life radio program. With me in the studio is the co-host of the broadcast, the Chancellor of Northern Baptist Bible College, Dr. Les Olala. Doc, here we are again in the studio. We've got our Bible open and a cup of coffee here in front of us and a great topic to talk about today.
Well, thank the Lord we have the Word. And for those of you who are up, whether it's in the morning or whether you're driving, we can rejoice in the fact that God has not left us in this world without direction. He has given us His Word.
Mm-hmm.
And what a privilege to be able to open that. And we want to tear apart a passage that I think is going to be a real need meter. I know it has been for me, my own life over the years. And we've been able to share this with others recently.
I know you were just you were saying before the broadcast, a group of pastors in
Kansas.
Churches.
Yes, and it was a blessing to be able to just do one segment on this passage that we will be addressing.
Well, we're calling this series Living Confidently in the Midst of Our Fears. And I think the passage that we want to begin in is in 2 Timothy chapter 1. And so, Doc, why do you think that this topic is so important for us? I mean, living confident in the midst of our fears certainly would be something I think that would be attractive to any of our listeners. Hey, you know, I have to deal with my fears, but why do you feel like that's such a key?
I believe any Christian who is attempting to walk by faith has one controlling emotion that would mitigate against that walk of faith. And that controlling emotion is fear. And whether it is a new convert attempting to grow into the new life, or whether it is a pastor pastoring a flock, leading that congregation into a building program, whether it is a youth pastor starting a new program, meeting with parents, and that has never been done, fear becomes a controlling emotion, because fear is basically caused by the unknown.
Right.
And the unknown is fearful if we do not have a proper concept of who God is.
And Satan is a master at that.
Yeah,
I mean, Satan is a master of kind of taking God's will and making us afraid of that.
Well, I know every step that I've ever made in ministry was extremely fearful to me. And I made the step, in spite of fear, to let God show Himself mighty.
And I think that's such a key, Doc, because I think what we kind of want is for God to take away all of our fears so that we absolutely have nothing of fear in our life at all. But I think so often the Christian life is living faithfully in the midst of our fear. Even though the fear is there, you still have to step forward. You still have to take the faith. You can't let the fear stop you.
You look at how Timothy was used in God's work, reached by Paul, raised by a godly grandmother and a godly mother. But yet, I believe he lived fearfully in his ministry, and that's what we want to consider. That's the person and the text we want to look at is 2 Timothy chapter 1. And I think if you, Doc, would read 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 3 through 7, and give us a context of this, and then let's begin to take piece by piece what Paul was dealing with in the life of Timothy, and then how is that affecting us today?
This is one of my favorite passages of Scripture, actually, because it really does speak to where a lot of us younger guys live. Paul had started the church at Ephesus, and as God began to grow that church, God moved Paul away, and in the process, laid on Paul's heart to put Timothy in as the pastor of that church. So you talk about intimidation. How'd you like to pastor the church right after the Apostle Paul had pastored it for a while?
That would be intimidating, especially with Timothy's background.
Yeah. So this is a letter that Paul writes to Timothy. It's actually the second letter that Paul wrote to him in order to encourage him and to equip him for that ministry. And he's going to deal with a particular problem in Timothy's life that certainly becomes then the foundation of our series, Living Confidently in the Midst of Our Fears. Let me read the passage that you mentioned, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3. I thank God, whom I serve for my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind.
So here Paul was writing to Timothy, and he was thanking God for the memory. And if Paul reviewed the life and relationship that he had with Timothy from the time that he was saved there in Derby, And when you find the nurturing that Paul picked him up on that second journey and then began to mentor him step by step by step, and as you said, leaving him then in charge of that ministry, pastoring that flock of believers. And he is reminding him of the reality of his faith, which to me is an extremely crucial portion of this, the reality of his faith.
You know, as you were talking about this, you know, you mentioned a little bit about his background. How much of our fears do you think are sourced in our background?
Well, I think a great deal. I think particularly when you look at Timothy, he always seems to function in a timid way. Paul had to encourage him about his age. Let no man despise thy youth. I'm sure Timothy talked to Paul, said, Paul, as young as I am, and I don't think he was a teenager.
Right.
I don't think he was even in his 20s. I think by then he was probably
in his 30s,
which would still have probably been very intimidating compared to the maturity of an apostle Paul.
Mm-hmm.
What was Timothy's spiritual background?
Well, he would have come out of a Greek background, kind of a mixed background, actually.
Yes. And we know his grandmother was saved,
mm-hmm.
and we know his mother was saved, mm-hmm. and they must have been very godly women. But what do we know about his father?
Well, I think he was a soldier, wasn't he, a Roman soldier?
Yeah, to my knowledge, I don't believe his father was saved. There's no mention of that.
Mm-hmm.
The godly heritage that Timothy had came from grandmother and mother in their mm-hmm. life. And I believe that a great deal of the formation of our view of who God is formulated in the father in a family. We have a very unstable society today. We have unstable emotional people because when you don't have that normal relationship, no matter who tries to fill that void, when there is the absence of that father, it is a real struggle to get anchored in a proper view of who God is.
Mm-hmm.
And almost every major emotion that is negative is traced back to a negative view of who God is, or a flawed view of God. Even though it's not negative, it's flawed view. I don't see God particularly
right.
for who he really is. And I think in spite of the fact Timothy had grown, he was being trained in doctrine, he didn't have that anchor point.
In a dad.
Who is a godly model. My dad taught us tremendous character. I was raised, as you know, in an unsaved family. My dad had tremendous character. He taught us a work ethic that wouldn't quit.
Mm-hmm.
But for me to go and ask dad for something, it just was not going to happen. I mean, if I thought, boy, I'd like to take the car Friday, I could not work up the nerve to do it. And you know, why do you need that? Who are you going to be with that? And where are you going to go with that? I thought, well, I finally saved up enough money. I actually bought a 39 Ford for $15. and you know, to this day, Dr. Horn, my first thing when I'm facing something is not go to Abba Father first.
Mm.
It is to try to figure it out myself.
Mm.
And God in his own love and mercy puts us in circumstances we are driven to him to prove his love to us.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Timothy was having to learn this. That is, yes, I am your heavenly father. But Paul was telling him, Timothy, God hasn't given you a spirit of timidity. He hasn't given you this.
Mm-hmm.
This is not God's mind, and mm-hmm. this is not mm-hmm. God's will for you. But this is what God has given to you. And I call these the trinity of qualities
mm-hmm.
for effective Christian living, a trinity of qualities mm-hmm. that have to be in the life.
Power and love and of a sound mind.
And he has given us power, love, and of a sound mind.
Wow.
I think when we tear each of those apart, it is going to be very helpful.
Doc, before we get into tearing those apart, we have a lot of folks listening to the broadcast, and we may have some godly ladies like Eunice and Lois who are the only spiritual influence in the life of their sons or the life of their children. And there's an encouraging thing in the text, and that is that, you know, from the influence of these two women came a young man who was very useful to God in ministry.
Yeah, and they led him into the Scriptures.
Mm-hmm.
You see that very clearly in 2 Timothy 3:16, where Paul rehearses that in the mind or leading up to, but continue in the things you have learned and have been assured in, and knowing of whom thou hast learned them, that from a child thou hast known the holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation.
And that's talking there about the influence of his mother and grandmother.
Yeah, it was the grandmother and mother who taught him the holy Scriptures that made him wise unto salvation. So they had laid all of that base and all of that foundation down.
How much of an influence do you think the Apostle Paul had in Timothy that replaced or provided that male influence that Lois and Eunice couldn't provide?
Well, I think it made the fill the gap, but it had to be through counsel.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what Paul is doing to Timothy here. Timothy, remember, God hasn't mm-hmm. given you this.
Mm-hmm.
You're manufacturing this within yourself. God doesn't give you timidity. God does mm-hmm. not author mm-hmm. cowardice.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what that timidity is. That fear is not the phobos or the awe and the reverence. This is a timidity that is.
And I think that's such an important lesson for those of us in ministry, for pastors like myself and others, to just be aware that there are some godly ladies trying to raise their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, and many of them are doing it with perhaps husbands that are very good in terms of their character and in terms of their work ethic, but who are either disengaged spiritually or just totally out of the picture spiritually. And somehow we've got to come and partner with those mothers, like Paul did, to bring up a future Timothy.
And it's based in the Word.
Mm-hmm.
That is, in other
mm-hmm.
words, we take the Holy Scriptures, which they did, and then the next step of mentoring is Paul took Timothy with the Holy Scriptures, and that which was written. In fact, Paul was writing the Scriptures at that point. This letter became a part yeah. of that canon of Scripture.
Yes.
And Paul was guiding Timothy Godward. And that really is the goal. That's what Grandma and Mama did. That's what Paul did when he came into life, continually directed him Godward. And what do I need? I still need my thinking directed Godward.
Mm-hmm.
Because mm-hmm. otherwise, I think humanly, I think naturally, I think negatively. And then when I start thinking Godward, there's a stability that comes. There is a stability like, we're in the midst of a circumstance, and like, this is going to crush me. No, God is alive. God is on the throne, and he knows this. He knows every detail about it, and he sees the other end of it
yes.
already. Now, if I have a flawed view of who God is, then this is out of God's hand, and somehow or another, I've got to become negative and bitter and angry, and then become useless in the midst of a negative circumstance. Mm-hmm. Or say, you know what? I've lived long enough to see that God is going to be God through highs, through lows. God is going to be God, and God has his own way of showing himself mighty in the midst of all of the things. Then I find myself creating this dream world, and we'll find a group of God's people did that.
In fact, we're going to talk about that at a later portion in this series called Living Confidently in the Midst of Our Fears, and you can find those at our website, www.thewordforlife.org. Until then, may the Lord bless.